Again, Psalm 34, we were there this morning. We're going to go back there tonight. Psalm 34. No, I've not heard a thing. No emails. Usually he sends an email once in a while when things are going on. So maybe, I don't know. I'm going to see his preacher this week. I'm going to see Brother Legault this week. And hopefully if I can remember, I will ask Brother Legault what he knows about that. Keep praying for the whole situation. Yes. Psalm 34. Just one verse as we looked at this morning. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Father, bless the message tonight as we continue talking about Your goodness. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful tonight that You are always a good God. Always. Lord, You're good all the time. You're good when we're not. You're good when things are not going our way. Lord, You're good when our wishes don't come true. Lord, You're always good. And so we thank You and praise You for that. We pray that You continue to bless us tonight and be with this message. I pray, Lord, that You'd use it to encourage us. Because many times I think that we, as Christians, we look so much at the material and we fail to see the spiritual. We fail to see Your goodness when things are going bad in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that we would learn to change our focus, learn to change our thoughts, and learn to change what we concentrate on and meditate on and think about every day of our life. Lord, I pray that this message would do that. Lord, I pray that it would help me. I need this. And so, Lord, we just pray that You bless us and be with us tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the goodness of God, and I'm not going to go over all of the other things that we talked about this morning, but we did say, number one, I got several things here. We only got through number one here this morning. And, of course, God's goodness is in His Son, Jesus Christ. There is not a better God in the universe than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I hope and pray He's yours. And as I look out here in this room, I would hope and pray that all of you are saved and that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. God has been very, very good to us over the years. When I say very good to us, I'm not necessarily meaning that He has given us material things. That's usually what we talk about. Oh, God's been good to me. He gave me this, 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 and this, and I got all these. Okay, all right. You can praise God for it, but that's something that we should not be concentrating all the time on. We need to thank God for His goodness when it comes to spiritual things. And, of course, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, I think, the greatest blessing that the universe, that the world could ever need or want, is Jesus Christ. Number two tonight is God's goodness is in providing salvation. Now that salvation comes through, number one, His Son. And so this is kind of like in an order of some sort. I don't know if I've got them all in a spiritual order. But we'll think about this. When we talk about the goodness of God, it is in providing salvation. Now, this is a rhetorical question, and I know you know the answer to this, but salvation was not only provided for Americans. Salvation was not only provided to just me or just you. Salvation has been provided for every human being around the globe. Every human being, 7.8 billion people, right, or 7.6, or I don't know, there's a lot of people in the world. They all have the opportunity to be saved. Right now, they all have that opportunity to be saved. Your family members that are lost have that opportunity to be saved. Seneca Falls, Geneva, Auburn, Syracuse, Rochester, where you live, that area has the opportunity to be saved. Jesus Christ was sent to this world for the entire world. And salvation has been provided for an entire world. Everybody can receive the same salvation. It's not a different salvation for a different culture. There's not a different salvation for a different class of people. There's not a different salvation for a different color group of people. Salvation is for all, and it's the same for all. That's the blessing that we have given, or God has given, is in His goodness. It's not confusing. Salvation is very simple. It's simple to understand. It's simple to receive. But it's one of the toughest decisions some people will ever make in their life. When it comes to repenting and trusting and believing in a God, in a Savior they can't see, so many people say, I just can't do it. I just can't believe in somebody or something that I can't see. And yet, so often, we do believe in things we can't see every day of our life. Every breath of air you take, you can't see that oxygen, you can't see that air, but it doesn't stop you from breathing. You can't see electricity running through the lines, but it doesn't stop you from going over and flipping on the switch when you need it, or turning on the air conditioner that you need it. You can't see the cool air coming out. You can't look up to these vents and see, I see cool air coming out. You feel the cool air, but you don't see it. Just like the heat in a wintertime. You can't see that heat. You feel the effects of it. There are so many things that we can't see. You can't see gravity, but don't jump off a roof. You'll feel the effects of gravity. There's a lot of things we can't see, and yet we believe in those things. I like to use that analogy to people that when they say, well, if I can't see God, so I don't believe in Him, I'll just toss those things back at them and let them think about those things. The air, gravity, heat, cool, whatever. I mean, you can come up with probably a dozen different things that you could use as an analogy to show people that, listen, you don't see these things, but you still believe in them. And so God has provided salvation to an entire world. Look at Psalm 106 in verse 1. Psalm 106 verse 1. Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You and I are saved based on the mercy of God. We talked this past Wednesday night about the grace of God. God's saving grace and God's serving grace. And how we need that. We need a saving grace, but I need a serving grace to serve Him. And that's important in our lives. But mercy goes along with that. You got to have grace before you can have mercy. We know that. We understand. I understand that. But mercy comes right into a very close second right after the grace. And the mercy we see there is everlasting. It endureth forever. My salvation endures forever. And we'll get into that and talk about that a little later in one of the other points that I have here. But again, the relationship and fellowship with God was broken in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship, didn't they? Perfect. It was a perfect relationship. They were involved in a perfect environment. They had everything given to them by God, and they literally were living in a perfect world until sin came in. And when sin came in, everything changed. Everything. But the relationship and the fellowship with God was broken when sin entered into the Garden of Eden. Really, when sin entered into the hearts of Adam and Eve. That's what broke the fellowship. That's what broke the relationship. And since then, man has been separated from God. You talk to a lost person, they have no clue about what you're talking about a lot of times when it comes to spiritual matters. They don't know. Why? Because they're dead in trespasses and in sins. They're spiritually dead. You, as a Christian, understand the things. When you read the Bible, you understand it, right? For the most part. You don't understand everything. And don't sit there and say you do understand everything because you don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. You can't understand everything because you're not God. God wrote the book. He wrote it to man, yes. And there's a lot of learning for us to do. There's a lot of reading and meditating and memorizing and studying, obviously. But we're going to continue to learn until we die or until we go to heaven. We just continue to learn. But we also see that when sin crept into the Garden of Eden, got into the heart of Adam and Eve, the fellowship was broken. The relationship was broken. There was no more. God then had to step in with His grace and His mercy and His goodness and His love and had to kill an animal or two or however, whatever God did, whether it was a lamb or not, we're not sure. We kind of think that way. Just based upon throughout the entire scriptures, we see that Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And so we feel that it's very good, that it's a good thing, at least we think about, that that was probably a lamb that God killed or two. And shed the blood of those animals there for Adam and Eve. But God had to step in and do it. That showed His goodness. He did not have to do that. He could have done this. See you guys in hell. Or now I won't see you in hell. I'll never see you. I'll never talk to you again. And He had all the authority to do that. To walk away and say, you know, I created you perfect. I gave you all of this. Look around here what I did for you. God never brought that up. We do. We bring up old things. We go back to the old ways and we dig up the trash from the past. I call it trash from the past. And we dig that up and we bring it out. And you know, old trash, you know what it does? It stinks. And it has no value in it whatsoever. It's good for a landfill. That's all it's good for. Or a compost pile or whatever. And yet God didn't do that. Now He had to step in and do something. And He did that. He provided blood. He provided salvation. That shows the goodness of God. Because He didn't walk away from Adam and Eve. Matter of fact, they walked away from God. God never walked away from them. God met them. They're the ones who went and hid behind whatever, a bush, a tree, a big leaf or whatever. They went and ate, they hid, and they didn't even want to see God. That's because sin had separated from God already their hearts. But God, in His goodness, He took care of them. And I believe that we will see Adam and Eve in heaven someday. You believe that? I do. I believe that we'll see Adam and Eve in heaven someday. Someday we'll be... And you're not going to walk up and shake your fist at Adam and or Eve and say, "What did you do that for?" You're not going to do that in heaven. We might embrace them and, you know, I don't know what we're going to do in heaven, but I don't believe we're going to do that. I believe that Adam and Eve will be there. I believe that everybody that was saved in the Old Testament, we will eventually see in heaven someday. And so God stepped in and did some wonderful things for them. Now, sin had separated mankind from God. So throughout the Old Testament, you see that God has to step in and do something. God has to bring in the information to them. He gives the Passover in Exodus chapter 12 for the killing of the animal, of course. There in Exodus chapter 12, to protect His people from destruction in Egypt, to give them salvation so they could leave Egypt. That was the goodness of God. He instructed those families, look, you kill a lamb, you bring it into your home, you bring it here for a few days, and you kill it, you put the blood on the doorpost, and when a death angel or whatever, that death person, when it came through that night and killed those people, if the blood was applied on the doorpost, it was going to pass over. And you know the story. And so we see that God did something great for Adam and Eve. God did something great for the Israelites. The feasts. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. The feasts that God instituted for the Israelites, for the nation of Israel. Each of these feasts are pointing to Jesus Christ. Each of these feasts, God is bringing into these individuals, these Israelites, for the purpose of bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, of a Messiah that eventually is going to come. In Leviticus chapter 23, I don't have time to go through all of them, but I'm just going to read them off to you. We have the Feast of Passover in verse 5, which is the points to the death of Jesus Christ. And then we have the Unleavened Bread in verses 6 through 8, which points to the burial of Jesus Christ. We have the Feast of First Fruits in 9 through 14, which pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're in Leviticus 23. We have the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost in verses 15 through 22, which is represented as the church age today. That long period in between. We have the Feast of Trumpets in verses 23 through 25, which represents the rapture that's going to take place one of these days. Praise the Lord. We're getting raptured out of here one of these days. We were over in a Chinese restaurant over there in Auburn today, Sakura's, and a brother came in, Ray Torrey from down at Calvary Chapel, and hey, you know, we're always friendly and talk, he and Kathy, and hey, the Lord's coming back real soon. He said, "Amen." And we're kind of talking away from one another, he's waiting for the trumpet to sound. And we talked briefly about that. So that's the Feast of Trumpets that represents the rapture there in verses 23 through 25. And then we have the Feast of Atonement or the Day of Atonement in verses 26 through 32. That is represented in the tribulation period that's coming. And then, of course, we have the Feast of Tabernacles in verses 33 through 44. And that is represented as the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It's amazing when we see those different feasts there mentioned in Leviticus 23. What is God doing? He's showing His goodness to the nation of Israel. He's showing His goodness to the entire world. When we go back and we study these out and we read about these feasts, we are seeing the goodness of God. He is bringing us to the Messiah. Or not us. He's bringing the nation of Israel to the Messiah. And so God has provided salvation to all who trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God was providing salvation in the Old Testament. And I believe it was by grace through faith. Even in the Old Testament. That salvation that people had. They had to trust God. They had to turn to God. They had to believe God. They had to believe His Word. They had to trust God in the Old Testament for their salvation. And they had to believe in the Word of God and the things of God. And of course, we come to the New Testament. We come to Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate salvation. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." So is salvation available to everybody? Is salvation for everybody? Is salvation for the world, or is it just for you? Is it just for a select group? Is it just for, you know, that's what the Calvinists believe, it's just for a select group of people. It's not. It's for everybody. It shows the goodness of God. God is good to the entire world. As I already said, nobody will be able to stand at the judgment, or the great white throne judgment, and shake their fist at God and says, "I didn't know. You're casting me into the lake of fire, and I didn't know." Everybody's going to have an opportunity somewhere in their life to know the truth about salvation. That tells me that God is a good, wonderful, forgiving, loving, graceful, merciful. He's just a good God, folks. Did He provide salvation for you? Amen. Are you saved tonight? Are you really saved tonight? Amen. You're saved tonight. You ought to thank God for His goodness. I mean, how did you get saved? Did you have to come to the church and work for your salvation? Did you have to give, you know, millions of dollars to the offering? Did you have to get baptized? Did you have to join this church? Did you have to do so? Of course not. You receive salvation the same way that somebody in China receives salvation. Yeah, right. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by His grace and by His mercy. You and I receive salvation the same way somebody up in Alaska receives salvation. We receive salvation the same way as anybody else in this world receives salvation. And it shows and points to the goodness of God. He did not have to save you. He did not have to save me. He saved me because He's a good God. He saved me because I trusted in Him, turned to Him, believed upon Him. And He said, "Welcome to my family." That's a good God. That is a gracious God. That's a good God. You ought to thank God for Him saving you. You ought to thank Him every single day, throughout the day, night and day. Anytime you think about it, you ought to thank God for saving you. You ought to thank Him for Him just being good to you. "Well, I don't have everything that my neighbor has." That's not God being good to you. You need to thank Him for Him being good to you, just saving your soul. If that's all you had, that would be plenty. That's all you need for the rest of eternity. You don't need your house for the rest of eternity. You don't need your car, your truck, or whatever else you have for the rest of eternity. What you need is salvation. What you need is Jesus Christ. That's what you need for eternity. You don't need anything that you have in this life for eternity. God's a good God. Number three, God's goodness is in forgiveness of sin. Yeah. Aren't you glad that your sins are forgiven? Well, Jeff is glad. Brennan is glad. Jim is glad. We got a few that are glad. I'm glad. Thank God for that. Look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86 in verse 5. God's goodness is in forgiveness of sin. Psalm 86 in verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. Look what it says. Get there. Are you there? Are we there yet? That's all right. We'll give you time to get there. Psalm 86, verse 5. "For Thou, Lord, art good." Look at it. "Good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." I put a little note in my margin, and I just wrote this down. God is good. I just wrote that down. God is good. God is good. How is He good? He's ready to forgive. And He's got plenty of mercy unto all them that call upon him. But you got to call. You got to ask. You got to repent. That's how you get saved. He's not going to automatically save you. You know that. He didn't automatically save me when I hit 17. I was a rebellious teenager. I had to ask Him to save me. Anybody that asks the Lord to save them, He will save them. That's how good He is. But His goodness is in the forgiveness of sins. We're regenerated by God. We're washed by God. We're cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We are renewed. We are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He just remade you when you got saved. Did He remake you? Yeah. What was your life before you were saved? What is your life now after you're saved? Now, don't say a mess. You know, it may still be but a little bit, but no, you're better off now than you were. Amen. God's goodness is in the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Boy, God is a good God. How do I know that? Because He forgave me of my sins. When I came to Him and asked Him to forgive me, He forgave me. When I come to Him every day and say, God, I did it again. Lord, please forgive me of the thought. Please forgive me of not doing what I should have been doing, or forgive me of this. He immediately forgives me. And He immediately cleanses me of all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 12. 1 John 2, 12. Boy, I love reading through 1 John. I try to do that every day. Read a chapter every day in 1 John. What a blessing. Brother Hardman does it. He told me about it. I mentioned it to you. I'm doing it. Maybe a few others might be doing it. I know Paul's trying to do it. He's doing it. It's a blessing when you read, when you read. I'll tell you, just God's a good God. That's all I can say. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 John 2, 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. That was one of the reasons John wrote to the Christians, was to tell us, hey, our sins are forgiven. But then he says in chapter 1, in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. What powerful words. But praise God for 1:9. Praise God for chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God for that. He said, listen, don't sin. But if you do, thank God we have Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. He's our forgiver. God is a good God because He has forgiven us. Number 4, God's goodness is in giving us the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad I have the Holy Spirit today. I know there's times that I grieve Him. You probably do too. You ever grieve the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe you don't, but I do once in a while. God, the Holy Spirit, has set up residence in our hearts. When you and I got saved, immediately He came to abide with us. And you ought to thank God that the Holy Spirit is still with you after you got saved. He didn't leave you the first time that you sinned. He didn't leave you the first time you had a bad thought. He didn't leave you the first time you did something you shouldn't have done. He didn't leave you the first time you didn't do something that you should have done. You ought to thank God that He's never left you. He's a good God. He loves us. He cares about us. He is trying to help us. I'm under construction. So are you. We're still being worked on by God. The Holy Spirit is still working in our lives and in our hearts. Thank God the Holy Spirit never sleeps. Never takes a vacation. Never leaves me nor forsakes me. Thank God for that. The Holy Spirit has set up residence in our hearts and in our souls. I don't understand it. You don't either. But He's in my spirit. There's a part of me that does not sin. There's a part of me that does, but there's a part of me that does not sin. That's the Spirit. We're a trichotomy. We're just like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a part of me in my spirit where the Holy Spirit abides and lives. That is a part of me that I cannot sin in that part. John gets into that. John talks about that part of us that does, we do not sin in that particular part. But our flesh, we still battle with that. That is a part of us that still sins. The soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions still can go against God.
Oh, yeah.
The Spirit does not go against God. There are times that we can quench Him. There are times that we can push Him aside, but He doesn't leave us. Thank God for that. Look at Psalm 143, verse 10. This is good. Psalm 143, verse 10. Psalm 143. And look at verse 10. Psalm 143 and verse 10. God's goodness is seen in Him giving us the Holy Spirit. Psalm 143, look at verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. God's Spirit is a good Spirit. God, again, you know, we're talking about how good God is, but His Spirit is good. Do you know that He wants you to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit in your life? You know those verses in Galatians chapter 5. I'm just going to zoom over there and read them real quick. In Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Those things are supposed to be exemplified in our life when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're following the Spirit as far as His leading, as His counsel, as His teaching. These things in our life are to be there. We are to love and have joy and peace and all of those nine things. We lump them into what is called the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. That's what, as a child of God that's filled with the Spirit of God, we are to have those things in our life. It's a blessing that the Spirit of God works in our hearts. It's a blessing that the Spirit of God can fill us with power, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need that filling every day. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the power of God, and so do you. You can't do things on your own. You can't. You can try. You can try all you want. You're just going to spin your tires and go nowhere. But the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to serve God. You and I can't serve God without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit directing us. You can't do it. People try. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. We have the fruit of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and we have the counsel of the Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. Look at 15:26. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and He also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. That is the Spirit of truth. Thank God for that. You know, when we're in tune with God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that you cannot fall into error? You fall into error when you start listening to things or people that's not biblical. See it all the time. Hear about it all the time. Had some dealings with somebody this past week. Fallen into some things that they shouldn't be falling into because they've drifted away from the Word of God. You drift away from the Word of God, you can fall into some errors of the Bible. You'll fall into false teachings of the Bible. You stay in this book. You stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you. He's not going to lead you astray.
Amen.
He will not lead you away from the Word of God. He will lead you right. He'll lead you properly.
Amen.
That's the counsel. That's the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 13. 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And so the Holy Spirit's job is not to exemplify or lift himself up. The Holy Spirit's job is to lift up Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so you and I, we are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit will do through you and I. We will want to exalt Christ in our life. Not so much lift up the Holy Spirit, because that's not His duty. That's not His job. His job is to lift up Christ, point people to Christ. That's His job. That's the Holy Spirit's function. God's goodness is seen in the Holy Spirit. Number five, God's goodness is revealed in the Scriptures. Aren't you glad you got a copy of the Word of God tonight? No other book can compare with the Word of God. No other book. No other book at all. Sam Gipp writes great books. His books cannot compare to the Word of God. Nobody's books. If it's something other than the Bible, it's a book written by man. And it's not perfect. It's got flaws. This book is perfect. This book is pure. This book is infallible. This book is not capable of any error at all. Aren't you glad that God in His goodness gave you a copy of His book? He's the author of the book. I know it's perfect because God wrote it. Had it written. Psalm 119, verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments, speaking about the Word of God, thy judgments are good. And so the psalm writer tells us that the Bible is a good book. We hear that sometimes even lost people. Ah, the good book says, or, you know, they refer to the good book. I don't usually refer to it as the good book, even though that's not wrong. I mean, I just read Psalm 119, verse 39. For thy judgments are good. That's the Bible, the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. And so the Word of God is good. Psalm 100 in verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We know that this book will never ever fail. This book is recorded in heaven. This book, not one jot, one tittle will ever pass. Ever, ever. It'll always be there eternally and for everlasting. God's goodness is revealed in the Scriptures. What a blessing to have a copy of this book. I read other books, and so do you. But they don't compare to this book. This is God's book. I like other authors. I, you know, tell you about those. And you have maybe a favorite author that you read, but there is no other author like this author. Every other author that we read, they're just a man or a woman, somebody, a human being. This author is God. And He wrote a book. And you ought to be reading His book. We will tell Brother Gipp, we'll tell maybe Chris when he gets his book done on the King James, we'll say, hey, Chris, I read your book. Boy, it was a blessing to read that book. Sometimes people get my little booklet in there on the King James. Boy, it's a blessing to read. But there's no other book compared to the Bible. You can't compare another book to this book. People will thank the author and praise an author for how good they write. I told you before, Al Lacey, he died a couple years ago, but boy, he was one of my favorite authors and I love to read his novels. He's just a tremendous writer. And I enjoyed reading him, but he's just a man that died. God's book. I don't ever want to get to heaven and say, you know, that I spent more time reading some other book than God's book. He's the author of this book. God's goodness is revealed in the Scriptures, but not only that, God's goodness, and I'll hurry up here, God's goodness is revealed in the security of the believer. Aren't you glad that when you got saved, I'm sure that you sinned sometime after that? Aren't you glad that God didn't just say, that's it, remove the salvation from you? Aren't you glad that He didn't do that? You know, that tells you about the goodness of God, that He still loves us, He's still a good God, even though after we get saved, we still sin, we still, you know, just men fall seven times, Proverbs tells us. And so, you know, we as individuals, we as Christians, we fail at things. We sin at times with thought, word, or deed, whatever. And aren't you glad that God still loves us? And aren't you glad that you're still saved even after that? That's a blessing. We are saved for all eternity. I love John chapter 10. John 10 is just a great, great chapter that deals with the security of the believer. And it says so much, we don't have time to read the entire chapter, of course, but just verse 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Aren't you glad you're one of the sheep of the Lord? Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You're saved, you're not getting unsaved. You can't go to God and say, God, that's it, I don't want to be saved anymore. God, I just want to go to hell someday. I just want to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. God, I know you saved me back a while ago, but I just don't want to be saved anymore. I don't know of any real saved person that would ever say that.
Yeah.
People have asked me that. Well, what if I don't want to be saved anymore? If you're truly saved, you're never going to want to be unsaved. If you're really saved, amen? I mean, if that person is truly born again, they don't want to get unborn again. They don't want to get unsaved. They want to go to heaven someday. They want to serve God. They want to spend eternity with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God is a good God, that when He saved you, He didn't just cast you off after the moment you sinned after you got saved? Thank God for that. Jesus Christ died once for all of us, for all eternity. And lastly, God's goodness is seen in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Lord's coming. May come tonight. We don't know. Could come next week, next year. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We feel it's soon. But soon could be any time between now and 100 years from now. We all know that. But we have the promise of the second coming of Christ. That's how good of a God we are. And you know the scriptures. You know the verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have lots of scripture that we could look at. That deals with the second coming of Christ. We talk about it a lot. We say it when we're fellowshipping. We talk about how the Lord is coming soon. We meet somebody like this afternoon in a restaurant. And, hey, the Lord's coming back soon. Boy, just with all the news that's going on, the things going on, and the stuff that we see going on around us. You go and you visit another country or another state or another city. And you say, whoa, get me out of here. And how can the Lord, be much longer? And that's what we think. And that's a blessing because we know the Lord can't be much longer. But He's going to come in His timing, not in our timing, not in man's timing. And so we have the promise of Christ's second coming. What I love about God and His goodness is everything that we see here on this earth is only temporary. The sickness that we go through is only temporary. The problems that we go through is only temporary. Situations that come and go in our life, they're only temporary. One of these days, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. We're going to be with God for all eternity. What in the world are we doing complaining and grumbling and griping? Today, on the way over to Auburn, Kathy read me a text by Barbara Beam. She's dying of cancer. And I don't know how much longer she has, but she said in her, not text, but in her Facebook page, right? She said something like this, and I'll misquote it probably. Kathy can correct me, but she said, I can't walk anymore, but all of you that can walk, you need to be in church. She says, I can't do it. I don't know if she does not go anymore or if it's to the point where she's so sick she can't. I know that Jeannie Johnson goes to church over there. She's dying of cancer. She many times has to go upstairs and rest because she's so close to death, but she's in church over at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And I hear things like that, where this lady said, if you can walk, you should be in church.
Amen.
And we've got people that can walk, and they're just sitting home tonight watching TV. And some of you, I love you, but some of you maybe will think the same thing on a Wednesday or some other time. I just don't feel like going to church. Here's a lady, if she was healthy enough, she would be in church. She's been going right up, right? I mean, she's been going right up to these last few, weeks, days, I don't know. But here's a woman that wants to be in church and can't be in church. And there's a whole bunch of people that can be in church that won't go to church. Shame on us. God is a good God. He is a good and wonderful and gracious God. Stop complaining about everything you don't have. Stop complaining when this breaks and this... I know we do it, but stop. Let's stop. Let's stop complaining about all this stuff. Stop just, you know, thinking and concentrating on all your stuff and my stuff and our material possessions and all of... Let's stop and think about the goodness of God. God is so good by giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. God is so good by providing salvation for every single human being, you and I included. God is so good for forgiveness of sins. God is so good by giving us the Holy Spirit. God is so good to give us a copy of His Word. God is so good by giving us the security that we have as believers to know that once we're saved, we're always saved. God is so good in telling us and showing us in His Word that one of these days He loves us so much He's coming back for us. He's coming back for the bride. He's coming back for the church, and we make up that church. We make up that bride. Do you realize how good God is? Do you realize? I mean, I'm serious when I say this. Do you really realize how good God is? Or does it zoom right over your head? Is it going one ear and right out the other? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Some of you and me, maybe, you know, this week we'll complain about something. We'll grumble about something. And we'll forget all about the message. We'll forget all about God's goodness for, a nanosecond. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will slap you up the side of the head or kick you in the shins or do something to you to say, wait a minute, isn't God good? And then we'll say, oh, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, You are good. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Remember, He's good when you're not. He's good when things don't go your way. He's good when your wishes don't come to pass. Remember this, God is not a genie you hold in a bottle and just rub the bottle once in a while when you want something. There's a lot of Christians, that's their God. Their God is a genie in a bottle. And they want something material and they rub the bottle and they say, God, now give this to me. I want this, I need this, whatever. But God is not a genie in a bottle. He's the Creator of the universe. You better respect Him. He's not the man upstairs. He's our God. And He's good all the time. Father, thank You again for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. We don't deserve it at all. It's only by Your grace and by Your mercy. And Lord, it's because You're a good God that we have what we have tonight. Lord, help us this week.